Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance for anyone interested in following along. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Bob?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick is absent. Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse for the Commissioner Busquets for today's meeting.
Second.
Okay, got a motion by Tony, second by Dick. You call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick? Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. We're going to move into consent agenda. I'm going to do A through D, and then we'll come back on E and F. So A is approval of the previous minutes, June 20th, 2016. Approval of payroll claims. I went through them. Everything's fine. Approval of accounts payable, which there was a zero accounts, or excuse me, approval of the surplus board report for sale of June 24th. If anybody looked at that, it was 300 and some odd dollars.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so it was, is that successful sale?
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
first time we make that kind of money.
Yeah. So anyway, so I just need an approval through A through D on the consent agenda items.
So move.
Second.
Okay, got a motion by Bill, second by Tony. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, E on the consent agenda is approve the sub-grant agreement for the Child Support Enforcement Services between Dakota County and the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. It's the DHHS, which is effective October of 2016, October 1 to September 30th of 2017. So I need approval on that, a formality annually.
I'll move.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill and a second by Tony. Will you call roll, please?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, and then lastly on the consent agenda on F, we got approval of resolution 16C-014 to adjust the petty cash fund for county court to the amount of $150. Joan, if you want to explain exactly why they're doing that.
Each person has $30 in their drawer to make change at the window, and they lost a person, and the state is not going to replace that person. So they're adjusting their petty cash. It's a state statute that all petty cash funds be set by resolution by the board, and then that is part of our budget.
Well, so it's not something you need to do.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. So move to accept the resolution 16C-014.
Okay. Got a motion by Tony and a second by Dick. Will you call roll?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Dick? Bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, a new business. Is it Reimers?
Reimers.
Okay. Community liaison for Congressman Adrian Smith to deliver an update on the Congressman Smith's activities in Washington, D.C., and to listen to the board's thoughts, questions, and suggestions about the federal government and the items for Congressman Smith to pay attention to. You have the floor, my friend.
All right. Well, I promise, unlike most folks who probably come to do this, I'll be brief. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Quickly, my role with the congressman is that I'm his representative for all communities, basically east of Gothenburg. So I head all the way down to Falls City in the southeast as well, which means I'm on the road about 3 days a week for the congressman at least, and when he's in the district, where I'm on the road even more. Sure. But in terms of what the congressman's doing right now in D.C., in January he accepted an additional subcommittee appointment. So in terms of big picture, he's on the Committee of Ways and Means for the House. And then within that, he now sits on the subcommittees of health, social security, as well as trade. Well, he feels those three committees give him a pretty solid vantage point to support the big items that matter most in the 3rd District. In critical access health care, as well as Medicare Medicaid programs, as well as trade, as well as trade because of the agricultural industries, most of what they sell needs to be exported in some capacity. Now, that may not be the case in the dollar-per-dollar level for the producer, but in terms of big-picture items, it's a major export industry for the 3rd District. From a legislative perspective, the congressman has a couple of pieces of legislation he really wants to make sure gets passed along, though he has had a pretty busy spring, and those are H.R. 169 and 170. What both of those do is sort of slow down the growth of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. In one case, in H.R. 169, it would eliminate a rule that they call the 96-hour rule. And what this rule does is mandates a physician has to evaluate whether or not a patient needs more than 96 hours worth of care. And if they do, they have to ship them off to a bigger facility. In this area, you've got a couple options, so that's not as big of a deal. But in many parts of the 3rd District, that's a major difference of care. And currently the rule does not qualify whether or not it's a surgical issue or if it's simply something where they're just massively dehydrated and may have a case of pneumonia and need to be in the hospital for a few days. If bottom line at this point is if they are a Medicare Medicaid patient and need more than 96 hours worth of care, they must not be served at a critical access hospital or the critical access hospital risks non-reimbursement. H.R. 170 would postpone a rule that the centers have proposed. So this rule is not even in place yet. And what this rule that they have proposed would do, they're calling the physician supervision rule. What it would do is require physicians to supervise nearly every procedure that a Medicare Medicaid patient receives in a critical access hospital. Excuse me. And the good news is the definition of supervise in this case is to be on the same floor as the individual receiving the service. The bad news is if that doctor happens to be across the street at a clinic, down the street getting a sandwich, doesn't matter. The moment they leave that floor, they can no longer be supervising those procedures, which means those patients can no longer receive the care. And so if you're a typical critical access hospital with one or two physicians on staff at best, that means those doctors better figure out how to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But when they're not on duty, they cannot provide services to those patients. So if you're like a Neely, Nebraska that has a 3-story hospital and a patient census of roughly 17, you better have 3 doctors on staff at all times or figure out how to have these particular sort of patients on one particular floor. But they're still better off than Fairbury, Nebraska, that actually has no doctors officially on staff. Now, they have doctors that service the hospital, but they're not on their payroll. So that means they can't receive Medicare and Medicaid dollars at all if this rule was to go into place as it's written currently. Outside of that, the congressman continues his work on reviewing and evaluating the trade agreements before Congress at this point, including TTIP as well as TPP. Those are very short versions of the names for the European Trade Agreement with TTIP and the Pacific Asian Agreement with TPP. Generally speaking, the congressman likes what he sees. He's got a couple concerns related to some labeling issues with the European Agreement. For example, how to deal with Italy wanting to be the only place in the world that can claim Parmesan cheese. and then in the case of TPP, there's some language that was inserted in particular by the Japanese pork industry that gives their pork industry a leg up over all others. And he's trying to work some of that out at this point. But overall, he likes what he sees and is generally in favor of it.
What do you think of Britain opting out of the EU? It looks like it's affected their grain prices.
Yeah. I don't know the specifics on that yet because he's been in D.C. and or abroad. But I'd be happy to check with them again, have somebody get back to you.
You know, I think once it settles down, it might be neutral, but right now it's very negative. I don't know what his thoughts are. I'm sure he has an opinion one way or the other, but it sure hasn't been friendly since it came out.
I'm sure he does as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that actually concludes my update. So are there any other thoughts, questions, concerns? Move this down here.
I enjoy his telephone forum. I'm on his list, and it's always about an hour and a half. And I normally just listen. I've never asked any questions, but I really enjoy his forum there. I think it's once every quarter, maybe, that I get called.
Yeah, there's a couple times a year where he's not allowed to do it due to congressional blackouts because
okay.
I don't want people to think that it's campaigning.
Sure.
But I'll let him know about
it. I really enjoy it. I'm glad he takes the time to do that.
One thing that I always visited with him when I'm in Washington, D.C., about the needs for more funds for the county roads, especially, and bridges. Because, like, for instance, in our county, we got 59 bridges. And how many critical and how many service.
Is there four critical right now, Fred? Five critical?
We got four fracture critical and four scour critical.
Yeah, and listen, I appreciate that, just like what Bill says, and having you come here, but, you know, we want to know, you know, where do we stand as a county? You know, they've cut us back so dramatically over the last 6, 7, 8 years that, you know, to make sure the state is looking in the black and nice and cherry, and they've killed the counties. You know, we have a lot of counties rely on their inheritance tax. I think you probably know that to balance their budget. And I know that they've tried getting rid of that a few different times. Thank God it hasn't, you know, passed on the legislation side. But we just, we struggle every year here just to try to, you know, balance our budget. And, you know, the bridges, like we said, and the roads.
Right.
You know, it just, that's something that could be.
I feel like I'm going to open up a can of worms if I ask this, but how was FEMA been? Because I'm assuming you guys had some stuff damaged.
Yeah, I'm FEMA.
Exactly. Who's that? You know,
they're on and off.
They are on and off. It all depends. And you know as well as I do that they have no money either.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the fact's a fact. And Fred's dealt a lot with FEMA. And just when you think that a project that you need money in, no way. And then all of a sudden, the project that you really don't need money, they'll throw money at that project. I mean, it's just, they're all over the board, is what they are.
I think we have close to $1 million in claims out there that have not been paid.
I ask because I've run into about seven or eight counties in a row that have had exactly that issue. And they were all 2014 flooding counties.
Yes.
That's how.
Yep.
They came through
We borrowed $1.47 million to fix everything with that 2014 flood event, and we've gotten reimbursed
180 or something. That's all.
It's not even that. I only show one payment of like $24,000.
So well under 20% of claims.
Oh yeah.
Well under 10% of
claims. It would be probably.
Well then they wouldn't approve. They've only approved how much.
We just sent in today.
Again, because they lost everything from the first time.
Didn't they approve like $800,000, maybe?
Did they approve it?
Yeah.
No.
It wasn't. See, I know we've been through this a couple of times, and my numbers are not all fresh and up to date, but.
What that was when we went over the amount of PWs that we had, it was at $800,000. But they have not approved that much.
And I know this fuel tax, you know, that was passed, you know, that's going to help out down the road.
Yeah.
But it's still not enough, you know. It really isn't. Yeah. It's not enough.
Well,
it's better than nothing.
If you use that on the thing, you know, in 2013, or Governor Heinemann, you know, he got across the board 10% in all the 93 counties in the state of Nebraska. And in particular in Dakota County, we lose $1 million revenue a year. With that cut, you know, because we lose the jail reimbursement, we lose the state aid, we don't used to have the county assessors, we got the county assessors back. I mean, that hurts. Well, I mean, all those, and we use that money to bridges and the roads. So, and farmers that always after us, you know, where's all the money that I pay in my taxes? You know, what do you guys do with the money? Yeah, I got them in my safety.
Well, and not very many people understand that, you know, 4% of their taxes go to roads, you know. I mean, there's a lot of money that has to be dispersed there in a lot of different ways, obviously. But needless to say, you know, we can always use some help with, you know, monies for roads, bridges.
While there's certainly a challenge of the federal versus state and what he can do, from a governmental perspective, we can always look into helping to expand revenue sources. One thing I would like to do, and I'm assuming that you guys have probably gone down this road, but I'd like to give you the contact information for the Congressman Stephen Caseworth. He's the one that's got all of the other counties that I've brought to him. and he would be the one that could help you work through any issues you guys are having. And he actually does get some success. I'm not promising
perfection by any means. It's FEMA. But he gets something.
This isn't your issue, but it really affects us up here because our land tax is extremely high in Bergen County, Nebraska, real estate taxes. Right across the river, South Dakota and Iowa, are about a third of our farmland taxes. And we hear that, believe me, every day. But a lot of that is from our state aid. I think Iowa, South Dakota have much better state aid to their schools and counties than we do. Ours is cut. And that reflects our land taxes. Believe me, it doesn't make our job any easier. But that has nothing to do with you. It's a problem for us.
No, but it's an awareness. There's not always things that congressmen can do from the federal level, but
right.
It's important to be aware so that if there are opportunities to do something, you can at least consider it.
Yep.
So, what was your name again, sir?
Brett Kellogg. He's the highway superintendent.
I just want to make Todd aware of the fact that he passed his name along.
But no, any other questions for Jared? We appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Let's
see. For what it's worth, I love coming out this direction. My had an uncle who lived in Sioux for a couple decades, so I took a chance every opportunity we could to come this direction.
Where does he live?
He doesn't live now. But he lived in South Sioux near Morningside.
Sure.
Or in Sioux near Morningside.
Okay.
Sure, thanks for
thank
coming.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks for coming. We appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to B. High B, South Sioux City is requesting approval for a special liquor license for the wine and beer tasting event at the Dakota Thurston County Fair Exhibit Hall, 1547 Stable Drive, South Sioux City, on Friday, August 5th, from 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. Just kidding. 4 p.m. to 9 p.m.
That could be real interesting.
So anyways, Hy-Vee is requesting just that, for us to give them a liquor license so they can apply for and they can have a tasting out there.
They submitted a copy of their application. They could not be here.
I think I saw. So they won't be selling it? It'll just be the same.
I think it's just a tasting. Yeah, I don't think. That's the way it says. That's the way it's put on there. Approval for the special designated liquor license. For the
tasting event. Yeah, I don't think
they're
going to
charge.
Anything.
Not the way.
Well, to me, I would think that they'd be selling it. Because if you're going to be tasting it,
right.
Okay.
Then you sell the bottle.
Right, exactly. They're just not going to have people taste it and say, well, guess what? Go up to the store and grab this.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
No, they're going to sell.
They're going to sell it there as well.
There too.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does it matter one way or the other? Does it, if they're selling it or if they're letting people taste it?
Well, they got the liquor license themselves, so they had a carry license, you know, they can go anywhere. I mean, they had that carrying license, so I don't see no problem with that myself.
Yeah. And we got deputies on the ground at all times.
I would move to approve the special designated liquor license for the
wine and beer.
Wine and beer tasting event at the Dakota Thurston County Fair.
Okay, Dave B, give us a motion to approve.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Gomez. Will you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. C, Sophie Vargas requesting board's approval for additional dates for rodeo events in Dakota County. Hello. Again. How are you?
Fine. How you doing?
Good.
We're doing well. I'm trying to figure out what you guys are asking for, but I'm sure it's going to be fine, I think. The events approved was the 30th?
April.
May 29th. And then you had, it says, the May 13th event was held. Saturday, June 18th, you called that did not work. So you wanted June 25th, but too late for the board to approve. And now, Sunday the 3rd, that was canceled. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking for Saturday, July 30th?
Actually, no, it's going to be July 23rd.
July 23rd.
Yes, since we canceled the last three, so we want to go ahead and have additional dates in case it rains or in case something happens. So I have a couple dates.
Okay, so what dates are you requesting as of right now, starting here forward?
Yes. July 23rd, August 6th, August 20th, September 3rd, September 18th, September 24th, October 1st, and October 8th.
Holy moly.
October 1st and October what?
8th.
But you won't use all these dates? You're
no,
just going to have
them? Because, you know, if it rains or if it's really cold.
Okay.
We only had one so far, and the last three, we had to cancel them.
Weather-related?
What happens when you apply for the designated liquor license and liquor commission in Lincoln? And the application, they give you an opportunity to put a rainy day. In case it rains the 23rd, let's say. So they got the yay. So there's one event instead of two. So it's this.
So realistically, out of these eight events, are you thinking of having four or five realistically? I mean, what if the weather's beautiful for every event? Are you going to have one every event?
Yes.
So if the weather's perfect, you're going to have eight of them?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It ain't like you're just picking special dates.
How many do you have already? Just one.
Just one.
Mm-hmm. How many do you normally have, Tony?
Well, they can have up to 12.
Right. But what do you have normally, though?
Myself, 7.
Now, just a question, and I know you're requesting for this special dates and new dates. What did we figure out on the time? What did anything ever change on that, or did you just talk to them about that? Because this is the reason why. And I think you know the reason why, because once this was discussed, and then we were going to go to, 11:30?
Yes, the latest 11:30 if it's Saturday. But if it's Sunday, 10:30. And we have Saturdays.
Okay.
Every single one.
I just know that once this got out and people were like,
Oh, yeah.
They were just like, well, hold on here. 11:30 is a little too late on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Which,
yes.
Okay, we got that all worked out.
So
I just
Saturday,
want to make sure, in case somebody does call me, and I'm sure they will, because it happens every, even when Tony did it, I still got phone calls. That's just the way it was.
Starting at noon?
Yes.
And then are you still looking at July 30th?
No, July 23rd.
July 30th.
Because when you come back next year, it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not August
1 or 11:30.
Yeah, August 1 more.
Yeah, it's complaining.
10:30.
Just drop at 10:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Or Sundays.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How did your first one turn out? Was it as everything that you expected?
No, because it was the first one.
Just curious.
Well, we didn't have a lot of people.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering how it turned out.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want these eight dates, and then obviously weather permitting for all of them, but if it's good, you're going to have all eight dates. So.
Yes.
I'd move to approve those dates that she did approve. 23rd of July, 6th and 20th of August, 3rd, 18th, and 24th of September, and 1st and 8th of October.
Yes. Okay.
So
okay, we get a motion for the dates, for the additional dates for the rodeo event in Dakota County for Sophie. Billy B. gave us a motion and second by Tony. Call roll.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Good luck.
Yep, hopefully everything works out for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Okay, we're going to move on to miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent for the Rodeo Board.
June 19th through the July 2nd, road maintenance, 335 hours. Bridge maintenance, 26 hours. Bridge on S Avenue, 17. Projects, Moody Road, that was a couple culverts soldered in, kind of a drainage problem in that area. Took care of that. North Bluff, that is filling in along the North Buffalo on the pavement. We started it. It's not finished. So if you commissioners are getting calls, it's not complete.
Okay, so obviously we've had a few phone calls of what you guys are out there doing to cutting it, getting it wider, getting the grass out of the way. Obviously they're not liking that. You're putting down the tiger poop, whatever we call it nowadays, the clay and the rock, and which I think is awesome stuff, but obviously they don't think it's, you know.
They're not. Once it's down, it'll be,
you know,
if on the north end, if you happen to be on the north end of North Bluff, where the tractor trailers pull off of Highway 20 on the North Bluff and drop their trailers off.
Yep.
We put the regular red granite rock because we were fixing some others in the area, and we did it with that. That stuff scattered all over the intersection right now. I mean, it's nothing bad, but it's not staying where it's supposed to. It's scattering out. There's no binder to it. As we discussed, this other product has a binder to it, and I think it'll stay. We know it gets hard. Anybody's been out by Scott's house, there's a patch of it. But anyway, it's not complete is what it is. The wads of grass, I thought it was a good idea to mow it right before we did it, so we had a lot of loose grass. Well, the loose grass balls up. Anyway, it's nothing that, you know how
grass. It vanishes in a few days.
Yes, it'll all come around. But what I wanted to, I guess, express is we're not finished. And when it gets finished, I will tell the commissioners that it is complete. So then if there's any complaints, we can move on it. But right now, we're just in the process of
trying to make it better. And I don't know if you talked to Gil. I know we said at one time, I know Rick said you had to get some bids, and we talked about that. We don't want to go out and get bids and waste their time and energy because it's going to be a lot of money. So we just wanted to get a verbal agreement or a verbal rough price from Knife River with asphalt. And you know, you got a 5 mile stretch on each side, 3 feet, 4 inches deep. You're talking a lot of money, okay? And I said something to Joan, I said something to you. You know, if anything should happen out there, just like when we had the whole crowd here, you know, the speed limit is, and I know standard 50 mile an hour, okay, on the county road. And I know if we wanted to do a engineer study, it's going to cost us probably $5,000 to $7,000 to have some rookie go out there and set and count cars, do whatever they'd like to do, and charge us a lot of money. My point is the cheapest thing to do out there is to do what we're doing and slow, get the speed limit down there. There's no reason why it needs to be. I mean, if everybody drove 50, it'd be fine. But like she said, everybody drives 80, 90 mile an hour on it. And slow it down, it'd be a lot less expensive. Even if it was 35. I would love to see Highway 20, you know, 45 mile an hour from the city limits all the way out to Martin's Airfield, you know. I know we talked about that at one time. At 55, and then they run 60, 65, it's just too fast out there. It's too fast. Especially you get by C&H and Stapleton's and all that. It's too fast. There's been a lot of wrecks. I think there's 4 wrecks at my intersection of Elgin and Highway 20. There's a little bit of that 45 in that road right there. And they come around that corner, and they're just screaming, you know. I don't know. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. When that actually was, when it was actually paid to.
Was that enough? Well, I'm not done yet. Hold on here. I got to tell you one more thing. I'm just kidding.
No, when he said, though, Gerald told me, too, he said if it was lowered down, because he said if we're going down with a tractor with duals on, and it's common sense, and he said there's a guy coming down the road 55 miles an hour, he said if we don't get over quick enough, the half a mile before he gets to us, he said, boom, we're in trouble. And I can see his point. It's what you said. So
I don't know what the answer is, but whatever you're doing, we'll see where it takes us. And but I'd be curious to see with Knife River because they're going to come back. I promise you, they're going to come back. So at least we can sit there and say, hey, you know, they want $400,000 to do this. You know, it's just not practical. It's not cost effective. So the thing it'd be is to, you know, patrol it, slow the speed down. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
The thing is you know, one of the safety factors they were talking about is the drop off the edge. That will be fixed, and whether they'll be happy about it or not. But it'll be when someone drives off the edge. The heavy equipment, white equipment, you shouldn't tear it up quite so bad. There's always going to be maintenance to do on it. And
would be on blacktop too, though.
Yeah, you're exactly correct.
You're on Highway 77 out here, you know, to go to City Hall. Shoulders are all crumbled.
Just look at Highway 110. Highway 10 doesn't have it either.
No. You
know? I mean, State Highway.
Highway 12 doesn't all the way to the Valentine.
Right.
Well, I think this is going to work.
Well, you know, I hope it does, but I think that they're expecting more, is what I'm saying. So we just got to have our guard up.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you an update of what we're doing there.
Because
I know you've had a few.
As I did, but I know that they're going to be coming back. But let's just get a number from Bruce and Gil. Yeah.
And I have talked to both Bruce and Ronnie. You know, to me, you're looking right around 300.
That's what I would guess. I don't know. I think I'm light.
Ronnie's even, Mr. Gil of Gil Construction, he says he don't even know if 6 inches is enough concrete.
Well, there's some heavy equipment under.
Yeah.
You know, the speed limit thing to me makes sense because if somebody does drop off 35 mile an hour versus 55 or 50, they aren't going to lose control and roll their car. And plus what you're doing, I think it's a good combination if we have to go that route.
And I don't know if it would ever pass, you know, if you did an interest. I mean, I don't know what the formality is to get the speed limit lowered besides having an engineer.
The thing is, it was probably engineered, you know, for the pavement, and that speed limit was checked. You know, the speed limit on Elgin Avenue north of your house on the gravel road is 50 mile an hour.
Yeah. If it's not posted, it's 50 mile an hour.
The standard speed limit for an aggregate road is 50 mile an hour.
So do you think that it would be a problem if we wanted to drop it down to 35 or 40 mile an hour or 35?
You'd have to get an engineer to tell us that.
So what gives them the right? I mean, they can go out there and I guess I don't understand what's...
And like I say, it's already been done. When the engineer did the study to... It drops down to 45 mile an hour on the very far north end, right where you go up that little hill and down to the railroad tracks. It drops down to 45. The engineer must have decided that to go around that corner and up over the hill and it is 45 mile an hour. What an engineer studies, I mean, he'll do, of course, your average count, traffic count. But so, I to be right on, in my opinion, it is my opinion only, I don't think they'd drop it from 50.
You know,
if you can do 50 mile an hour on Fiddler Creek, why couldn't you do 50 mile an hour on North Bluff?
Yeah, well, on a concrete road. I understand what you're getting at.
There's no guarantees.
But my point is, I bet you there wouldn't be one person that was in this room, if it was lower to 35, that they would have to that they would say anything about it.
I think you could post it all the way through there at 35, and I don't think you'd see much change in traffic. Except that you would get...
You're probably right.
Well, I think you're going to use... You're having a hard time to keep them at 50. You're never going to keep them at that 35 for that 4 miles. It's a paved road.
I'm just looking for solutions, so when they come, that's all I'm trying to do, so whatever. I'm with you.
Yeah.
No,
I may see you when you get it done. I'll put it out there.
Okay.
The other project we got is South Bluff. We started on the approach to that Martinique Bridge, finishing it. 43 hours so far on that. Mowing 13 hours, gravel 2,229 tons of aggregate. 34 and a half hours of signs, barricading 3 hours, and road concerns there was none.
Wow.
We had one on dust I didn't put in, and one on a culvert. But I mean, as far as road concerns, I did discuss with the dust thing with Commissioner Love.
I don't know if Dave Melick called you.
Yes.
He called the house while I was up here. Okay, then you take care of it. Okay, that's all I care about.
I'll be on next week.
I was here.
Next meeting.
No, we was here all morning, and he called the house. And I got home, Mom told me. So.
Well, good. Everything's going well. The roads look great. I mean, Mother Nature's good to us right now. So.
Yep.
Fine.
Okay.
We're actually getting some projects done, so yes.
Good.
Thank you, Fred.
Take care.
Okay. where am I at? The Commissioner Committee reports. Any? The LAC did go to the quarterlies. I think I did tell you guys that. When will the budget people, when will we be meeting again with them sometime? The problem is, you know, obviously Joan's overwhelmed with everything, and I know she's kind of freaking and stressed out about trying to figure all that business out and all the protests and all the...
I've got a lot of my expenses entered. I still haven't gotten the revenue side, so...
Wasn't he supposed to come to this meeting for...
He's canceled. He'll come next time. They didn't have the report ready.
Okay. Mail emergency business. Public comment. Anybody from the public? Public want to talk? Oh, you've been telling them to call me senior all day, so I want to get on the phone. Okay. All right, we're adjourned.